this bolt of lightning shot across the universe and inspired me with the idea that we have to do a podcast. And that's what I wanted to tell you. We should do a podcast. Okay, bye.
All right, I've hit record, so...
I also hit record. And one of the sound waves from me talking looks like a bow tie.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Okay, welcome to Feature Creep, colon.
Built-in microwave, semicolon.
Immunitize the eschaton again.
Again.
Yeah. Make the eschaton great again.
Let's make the eschaton great again.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone.
Yes, hello. I'm Ned, and this is Meg.
And we're talking about immunitizing the eschaton on our silly podcast that you are currently listening to.
So we've covered this topic before.
So congratulations.
Yeah.
You made the right choice.
Yes. Good job. Oh, right. You could email us if you have opinions about this episode or other episodes, or you'd like to find all of our episodes and you can't find them. You can go to fcbm.io or you can email Dana directly. Now, Dana, that's the CEO and founder of this podcast. Amazing.
And she's the one that's responsible for all of it, because there was no way we would have ever thought to ourselves, we should have a podcast, until she was like, you guys should have a podcast.
100% true. True story. Yeah. One day we'll tell it on this podcast. I feel like we've made it 4 years now.
We started this in 2019.
Yeah. So
it's been 6 years.
It's been 6 years.
Well, five. We're starting the sixth one right now.
5 years ago, you and I were like, we're doing a podcast and we're never going to talk about the origins of it.
Right.
And so far, we have not.
Yep.
But it may come. We'll see.
Anything's possible. Especially now.
Yes. So long story short, email Dana, D-A-N-A at fcbm.io. We would love to hear from you. Dana would love to hear from you. You can email criticisms if you just want to be like, you know, I'm the best internet troll ever and you guys are shit. That's totally fine. Whatever you want to do. We'd love to hear it. And if you go to our website, fcbm.io, we don't have any advertising or tracking, and you will also be able to access our podcast for free. The RSS feed is there, as well as episodes that you can just listen directly on the website. I think that's it.
I think
good
that's
job.
A lot.
Okay, now
you covered everything.
Good job, Ned. You did it this time.
Ooh, Ned, A+.
That's right. A+.
Right.
100%. Or what is it? 82%. That's what you got to do.
82%.
All right. Immunitize the eschaton. What the fuck is that? You go.
All right. So there's this eschatonic immunitization is bringing about like the eschaton, which is like in biblical considerations is like sort of the start of the end of the world. And like eschatonic immunitization is sort of like we need to undertake activities here on earth to speed up the process of getting to the finish line, which is the rapture, and we all go to heaven, right?
Yep.
But like this has been bastardized and used a bunch. Like it doesn't necessarily have to have anything to do with religious anything, although usually eschaton is used in a religious context or biblical context. Right. There are also people who are called accelerationists, and these are like the secular version of eschatonically motivated people, we'll put it that way. And accelerationists are people who are like, listen, society's collapsing, everything's going in the shitter. If we could just figure out how to get this over with quicker, we could come out the other side. And right. like, we can pick apart how dumb that is. For example, there's no finish line. It's just ongoing. It's always now, forever. There's no finish line. We're not going to arrive at some point where we're all like, whoo, glad we made it past that. Now what are we going to do next? It's right. like, nope, we are in a constellation of forces in multi-dimensional beings that never stop.
it's going to happen individually for people. I would argue that there's a lot of people who died during COVID who were like, this was the end. Had the government been a little better at the time, they could have lived.
Mm-hmm,
but had choices been made differently, these people could have lived. But no, they they went to meet their maker. Not that I believe in any of that shit, but you know.
Right. Yeah. I was having brunch with my mom the other day and she like said something that was very accelerationist, along the lines of like, well, I wish we could just get this over with. And I'm like, what this? Like, this has been going on like our entire lives. Reality, if you even agree that there is such a thing, like never stops changing. This is something I find interesting about the different branches of like, science, right? Like we'll say like what you classically studied in high school, chemistry, physics, biology, right?
Right.
Chemists and physicists are like, their things are finite and you can define them and there is a start and a finish and like these boundaries and all this stuff. And biologists are like, what are you talking about?
Right. Yes.
Like shit never stops changing. So like, what are you even talking about? Like this shit isn't really real. Like you're talking about mathematical and abstract, like perfect straight edges,
spherical
and
cows,
like spherical cows, just like we were talking about on the podcast the other day, spherical cows, which is like physicists and chemists are always like, well, under perfect conditions, this is what you can expect to happen, right? But like none of that is ever true, and also nothing's ever static, and so it's kind of like, what, how does this shit even work at all? Because it doesn't make any sense with it doesn't comport with reality anyway. So my mom, like, I think my mom's a little upset, and she's like an older boomer? I think she's one of the older boomers. Mm. Like she's an old boomer. I'm a young ex, and because there's a lot of distance between us in many ways, not just age. And so she was talking at brunch the other day about like how she wants us to just like get it over with, or like, and I didn't press her on like, okay, so like what finish line
are you trying
to get to?
Yeah.
And how will you know when you've made it?
Right.
Because that's what you're implying with the things that you're saying, right?
Right.
But like we don't have deep conversations because it's dangerous. So I just didn't ask. But that's what I think about everybody, because like I also have accelerationist tendencies, but I recognize that there's no there to get to.
Right.
Like, we're never gonna get there.
I've always felt like your take on it is just, it's just a moment of like, fuck it, like whatever, sure, yes, just step on the gas then.
Great. Burn it all down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna burn down anyway, so let's just light the match.
Right.
Yeah, because like sometimes, you know, I think it's like, I think the urge, because
you're tired of running around blowing out all the fucking matches.
Right. Yes, I am. I'm tired of blowing out the matches, especially when it seems like I'm blowing and everybody else is lighting.
Yes, exactly.
Like I'm always swimming against the stream.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was just, I was thinking about that. Like what kind of a world do all of these people picture? Cause like when people talk about like this is the accelerationists are kind of like cousins with the preppers, I feel like, right?
Sure,
like the doomsday preppers. Because the doomsday preppers also feel like there's going to be a finite event with a before and after, and they are definitely going to be part of the after. Otherwise, they wouldn't be hoarding all that shit. Right?
Right.
So they think they're going to make it through. And I'm like, what through? Where is the through? What are you moving through? And how will you know when you've come out the other side? Like, there was a book, gosh, I can't remember. Oh, it was in a blog I was reading. And it's a book about Darwinian evolution. And so, like, this idea of survival of the fittest actually didn't come from Darwin. It came from somebody who reinterpreted what Darwin had written about. Darwin's view of evolution is that species evolve for long-term survival. And a bastardization of that idea is that individuals within a species adapt to their surroundings to survive. And that is incorrect on the scale of evolution. And so, like, this accelerationist idea aligns with this sort of, like, misnaming of Darwinian evolution by this subsequent guy who I can't fucking remember. And because this is off the top of my head, I don't have any of this written down to talk about here. But anyway, like this guy was the one who came up with the survival of the fittest.
Yep.
And that kind of thinking is what underlies all of these people who are like, well, I'm going to be one of the fittest. So I'm going to survive the event, whatever it is that like kills everybody else off.
Right.
And makes all of this worrying that I'm doing about this incident, this like measurable incident that we're all going to experience at the same time in this like fever dream, like it makes it all work, right? And
right.
I it's just interesting to me like how closely related these things are. So whenever it's we like, scream immanentize the eschaton, it's largely satirical.
Yes, I mean,
we don't actually believe this.
No, it's oftentimes I think we say it in regards to pointing out what we see as people trying to do that. Like usually self-unaware, right? Like they're doing something, you know. Like I feel like you can easily point fingers, especially to sort of the left sort of moral superiority of like environmentalism, or like, you know, like the morally superior vegetarian vegan kind of trope, right? Like there's that. You know, as we, especially in the tech bro space, where it's like, oh, we're going to solve this problem of resource consumption and like damage to the environment by creating this other resource consumption service that then, you know, like as people learned that, like, it turns out electric cars are also super fucked up for the environment for other ways. And like, you know, and now it's like, you know, entering the public consciousness that it's like, yeah, these solutions aren't just, you know, the solution isn't create something that's more, you know, steer the consumerism towards consuming something else. No, the solution is like put the brakes on consumerism and find ways to lessen the amount of consumption that is, you know, required for daily life.
Right.
Anyway, so that's where we would be like, oh yeah, immanentize the eschaton, that like lack of self-awareness of like your solution is just a different problem.
Right. Oh my God, so well said. Your solution is just a different problem.
Right. Yeah.
Oh God, that's kind of like a defining feature of our reality. Or like the whole time we've been alive.
Like a lot of the shit that I see with my dad, like, you know, we're in therapy right now and like trying to resolve some deep issues of you know, our inability to have a relationship together for very fucked up reasons. And like a lot of his solutions are like, well, this wouldn't be a problem if you didn't think it was a problem.
Right. Oh my God, that's so well said. That's like, that is like, that really nutshells your dad. And also like my relationship to my parents too.
Right.
Like they also treat me, the dynamic is the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Like in our family, if you complain about being abused by the other people in the family, they will blame you for having a problem with the way you're being treated, not with the way they're treating you.
Right. Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The problem is that you don't like it.
Yeah.
Not that I'm doing it.
Yeah. No, I'm going to keep doing this thing that hurts you. But if you just stop saying it hurt you, everything would be great.
Right. Just stop saying it hurts.
Right.
What? God. That's so perfect.
Like, the worst part is like with my dad, it's like we have these whole therapy sessions where we talk about how it is causing me harm, and he acknowledges that it's harmful and it hurts. And he acknowledges that it would be harmful and hurtful to him. And then at the end of it, we're just back to like, yeah, but if you could just stomach it, then we could have a good relationship. I don't understand the problem here. There's nothing I can do. I certainly can't stop kicking you in the shins every time I see you.
Right.
I just wish you'd stop being mad at me. It was in the past.
Right. It comes like full circle every time.
Yeah.
Like you make the whole transit around the topic and come right back to, well, I haven't learned anything, so I'm just going to keep being me.
Right. Right.
God. Yeah. It's there's like so many parallels between these species of thought, right? Like the lack of reflection.
It's definitely that kind of like the way that like the macro mirrors the micro, and you know, it's like, you know, you look at a small section and it's like actually a good sampling of like what's going on in the bigger picture.
Yes. There's like, it's really funny to me, like there's the phrase as above, so below.
Yes.
Which has been sort of like, also there was nothing like religious or like occult related or anything weird about it when that statement first came out, and like different groups of people have sort of co-opted it for their own means, and so it's taken on kind of like a weird new agey thing, even though that was not where it originated, which I think is a real bummer because it's such an accurate statement.
Yes, yeah,
like you see it all throughout nature and like history and events and the way that like the universe fucking hangs together.
Right. Yes.
I'm always worried if I say it that somebody's going to be like, are you going to convince me to go to some weird yoga cult with you?
It's like this one time, this reminds me of many years ago, I had, so I have these Wi-Fi router or these Wi-Fi access points that are the Ubiquiti network access points, and they look like these white disc UFOs, right?
Yeah.
So I,
that's what we also have.
So I had named my Wi-Fi network the access point name something like I Want to Believe or something, which is a reference to the what was that show from our childhood with Scully and Mulder, X-Files.
Right? X-Files.
Because I love that show. I mean, it's fucking nonsense, but I love it. Love me some good sci-fi and some weird creepy shit. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it was good.
So that's what it was a reference to. But a friend of mine had, well, my cousin had sort of made this acquaintance or something, and like he'd come over and they were like hanging out or whatever, and he asked me about the Wi-Fi stuff, and I gave him the information. Mm-hmm. And it was like this invitation to like, it was like I had admitted that I was also a UFO believer, and I was ready to go down the deep end of the fucking discussions about, like, you know, look, am I open to the possibility that there, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson like said it best. He's like, you know, any day now there could be real evidence and we're all going to get on board with it. But right now there's nothing.
Well, you know, it's super weird that like everybody's like, it's got to be UFOs and hyper intelligent intergalactic travelers or nothing at all.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Because obviously, if there's life out there, it's got to be better than us.
Yeah. Yeah.
We think of ourselves so highly.
Right.
It's like, you know, you wouldn't know life on Mars if it bit you on the ass.
Right. Yes. God.
Like, here's a batshit idea.
Yeah.
Of all of the stars with all the planets circling them in all of the universe, we're the only ones with life on it.
Right? Right? I mean, yeah. So this is this is a whole other podcast, really.
That's how we got here 6 years later.
So there's the Fermi paradox, right? So the Fermi paradox is this idea of like, there are billions of stars, this infinite universe, therefore there must be some life somewhere. And then, but then the paradox, of course, is that there is no convincing evidence that this has happened, right?
Yeah, but we haven't fucking looked anywhere.
No, obviously not. Right. But there's also like, you know, there's like, as far as we know, there's no reason that we couldn't be the only one. Like, it's possible.
Well,
Like the
asteroid Bennu that like flew past or whatever. Was that the one that we sampled? There was one that we like landed on.
And it had
sampled.
A lot of the it like has early all life. Of the
yeah. organic life, like all of the organic molecules to spark life into being.
I think it was like
that would be similar to life on Earth, recognizable to us, right?
Yeah. Like, it didn't have peptides, but it had like
amino acids or something, right?
Yep.
Yeah, which is like, there you go. And those things, if you just jostle them around, they self-assemble into greater structures.
Right.
So like this, the fact that like this shit is just out there all the time.
Yeah.
And like, there's probably almost infinite versions of what we've got here that sparked life into being in shapes and sizes and components that are not recognizable to us because they're not just simply present in our solar system.
Right.
And so we don't know.
Right.
So like to say that like you would even be able to recognize an actual extraterrestrial life form if you put eyes on it is doubtful.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's complicated. This idea that like gray aliens wandering around in spaceships and abducting cows and people is like, you know, just seems like
but why do they abduct them though?
For butt stuff, obviously.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, that's not the point. The point was just that that, you know, like being careful what you say lest you invite some conversation you really didn't want to get into. Immanentize the eschaton is like you were saying, like trying to, you know, sometimes we maybe need to edit ourselves a little bit when we're shouting that out and not realizing that other people might actually hold that to be a good idea.
I didn't know they were into the rapture.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing with like, there's like all this stuff going on over the course of our being alive, the last 40, 50 years,
yep,
about like peace in the Middle East, right? And there are groups of people who are dedicated to never letting that happen, because the final, like, the final stage act of humanity before we get swooped up into heaven with God,
right,
or whatever, according to some people, is that there has to be a big battle, and like different factions will all coalesce around a particular geographic spot in the Middle East, and they'll duke it out, and that's what's going to like instigate Armageddon, which is like the big final battle, and then like the rapture happens after that, after the eschaton or whatever, and so then everybody goes flying through the air into Soul Town or whatever the fuck it is. So like, it's interesting to me that there are actually people who, like, there's layers to this, right? There's the people who are like the diehard believers of the original message of eschatonic, like, thought. Anything eschatonic, right, in a biblical sense. And then there's like other people who are just like, whatever. What it stands for is the end of the world, which is like a very dumbed down and reductive version of the biblical argument, which has a lot of ins, a lot of outs, right, a lot of people. Yeah. Involved, and like long histories of people involved, and so it's really interesting to me that there are actually people who are like, we got to do our best to like make sure the rapture happens. As if, like, isn't it weird though?
Yes.
That like, if like there's something on the scale of like deities happening that are influencing events, that people doing anything would make any difference at all. Anyway, it doesn't make sense, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Eschatonic immanentization.
Yeah.
And accelerationists and preppers and
Yeah.
Oh, here's a funny little thing that I'll tell you right before I have to leave to go do this other thing.
Yeah.
There's a book. Hang on. What's it called? I think it's called The Event.
Yeah.
By Douglas Rushkoff, who is a writer. Survival of the Richest, I think, is the name of the book. Survival of the Richest, written by Douglas Rushkoff. Douglas Rushkoff is an author who has been commenting on pop culture and the zeitgeist for several decades. And he kind of like observes what people are up to and like writes books about it. And like, here's kind of like what's happening in this place and time, right?
Yeah.
And so he wrote this published this in 2022. The tech elite have a plan to survive the apocalypse. They want to leave us all behind. Five mysterious billionaires summoned theorist Douglas Rushkoff to a desert resort for a private talk. And the topic, how to survive the event, the societal catastrophe they know is coming. Side note, probably because they're doing everything they can to bring it about by dominating everything through their stupid tech bullshit.
Right.
So Rushkoff came to understand these men were under the influence of the mindset, a Silicon Valley style certainty that they and their cohort can break the laws of physics, economics, and morality to escape a disaster of their own making as long as they have enough money and the right technology. So Peter Thiel, Mark Zuckerberg, whoever the other three were that like summoned him to this like desert hotspot or whatever, they're like, okay, man, we have been reading your books, and it seems like you really have a pulse for what's going on, like a finger on the pulse of what's going on. So we need you to tell us how to survive the unwashed masses. And he's like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's great.
They're like, no, you're the guy. We're putting all our marbles in your fucking marble sack, and we're trusting you to tell us exactly what to do. And he's like, okay, let's talk about this. And so then he goes and writes this book where he's basically like, hey everybody, these guys over here invited me to this thing, and I'm going to tell you all about what they said.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is this where like the push to like build all these like insane bunkers has come from?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yep. God. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think he gave them any helpful information. I think they were already doing all of this stuff anyway. And they're basically like, we're doing the right thing, right? Like, you can tell us when this is going to happen and like how people are going to respond, right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, and he's like, whatever. So the full title of the book is Survival of the Richest: Escape Fantasies of the Tech Billionaires.
Maybe we need to read this book and do a podcast about it.
We probably do. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like we should call it because you need to go soon, right?
I do need to go.
Okay. Do we want to let's see, find out one more dinger from from ChatGPT?
Yep. Dingers are our new thing. We're into this new thing. We're into asking ChatGPT 4.0 silly questions. And it's our new thing because it's silly. And we got to do DeepSeek. We got to do an episode about DeepSeek too, because that shit rattled everybody and it's hilarious. Yes.
Yep. So I asked ChatGPT 4.0 what the second most interesting sophistry it has ever heard.
And oh my God,
please keep it down to, please keep your answer to one sentence. It says, if time is money and money is the root of all evil, then saving time must be the most unethical thing you can do.
Oh God, that's awful.
But you know,
I mean, you know,
you know what I kind of love about it though, is that, like, saving time is often couched in terms of like being a better capitalist slave.
Yeah.
Like, you know, be efficient, save time, do more with the time you have. And by do more, they mean like drive our economy so the richest can get rich. Like there are probably very few of you who are not basically being exploited to enrich someone or some corporation, which is ultimately someone. Like you can't really, like your existence is to enrich them. Whatever money you get together pays into and funnels money up to the top.
No matter how much you get paid, it is insufficient to compensate you for the time that you are losing while you are alive for a very short while.
Right.
There is no price tag for that.
So
you're getting ripped off every day you're working for somebody.
So do evil. Save. So don't save time.
Do crimes.
Do crimes.
That is not our official stance.
No.
If you commit a crime, we have nothing to do with it.
That's right.
Oh my God. All right. Well.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine, like, I have to wonder what kind of litigious world we'd live in where someone's like, Meg and Ned said do crimes on their podcast and I did, and now it's their fault that I'm in jail.
Right.
I mean, anyway, don't do crimes. Take care of yourself. Like, you know, keep your head down, take care of yourself, do nice things, be kind to others. Wash your hands.
Yeah. Wash your hands. Oh my God, they're filthy. Wash your hands all the time.
Yeah. Just the right amount of times with soap.
Not hand sanitizer. It doesn't work.
No. Okay. Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye.